Well, I hope that's the last of that, because I'm worried that if I go and do that again, I'll fucking shit myself inside out. Fucking hell's teeth. Come and listen to my story about a man named Fred. A poor balladeer barely kept his kittens fed. And then one day, while John and Roger stewed, well, up through the mic come a bumbling dude. Robin Cable, that is. Trident engineer. Phil Spector wannabe. Well, it ain't the Beverly Hillbillies, and it sure shit ain't the Ronettes. Sit back, relax, we're talking Larry Lurex.
Brand new angle, highly commendable. Seaside Pod Review. Woo-hoo. Seaside Pod Review. Seaside Pod Review.
Oh my.
So, Kev, are we doing another spare episode, or I don't even, you know what, honestly, I was sleeping on the couch. And then I just kind of rolled over and I sat in my chair and then fucking you're online here. I'm not exactly sure what's going on.
I think we are going to get another spare episode in the bank and hopefully it stays spare for some length of time. So, you know, yeah, we're doing the C side pod review, not C S E A.
I know.
And not B side, as we established on the last one.
That was my gag, man. And you poo pooed me last time. So I gotta say, a little bit upset.
You're always upset. You're such a fucking grumpy git. No, I was telling you before we got back on here that I'm for the folks listening, I'm taking the year off the drink. I'm because I want to get a bit healthier again. I want to just sort of give my body a bit of time. I've been caning it for 34 years. Like I started drinking, you know, pretty solidly when I was 16. Joined the army. And I've been carrying on that ever since. And so I think, yeah, probably time to just give the body a bit of a break. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were talking about dry January, and like, I don't know, it was probably about a couple, 3 years or whatever. I talked to Karen, my wife, and said, also, she says, I'm doing dry January. She says, maybe I'll do dry January with you. I'm like, okay. So we get to the end of the first week, and I'm come home from work, and she says, are you picking up beer tonight? I'm like, well, no, it's dry. I'm doing dry January. It's like, what, even on weekends? I'm not doing that. Can you all get a beer for me?
Oh, I love that.
Which made me laugh riotously.
Well, Karen is a lovely, lovely woman, and you married well above your station. One of my favorite Karen stories is when she went to visit your folks, your mom. And they were traveling, whatever it was. I forget exactly how far, not very far in.
Wigan to London. So it was about 3.5 hours.
About 3.5 hours, yeah. And then your mom starts making sandwiches. And Karen says, what are you making sandwiches for? She says, well, we've got this long journey. We're going to need to stop and have something to eat. And so Karen's from Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
And you know, we drive distances like that. We don't even think about it. And here your mom's making these sandwiches. I don't know why I found that just struck me so funny.
Yeah.
And of course, I've never met your mother, but you know, I'm sure she's a lovely woman. She's just trying to take care of her family. But
and she just and yeah, it was really funny.
Yeah.
Was because yeah, so she makes all these sandwiches and Karen says, oh, you're making all these sandwiches. Oh, so you don't have to stop on the motorway. And Karen's like, well, how far are we going? And my mum says, well, it'll be like 3.5 hours. And Karen said, well, why would we stop? Well, yeah, Jesus. I mean, I've done Edmonton and back in a day. I mean, that's not great. And that's a bit of a haul, but it's.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's not pleasant, but yeah.
It's 5.5 hours. You just get on with it, right? So.
Well, and then, you know, if we're to discuss, you know, just the size of the countries is ridiculous. Yeah. You'd fit probably a few UKs in Saskatchewan alone. But my limited three? Okay.
Yeah.
My limited experience of driving in the UK is that you never ever really get up to speed. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, so you just, you're never really traveling very fast. So everything takes longer, right?
Yeah.
Whereas here, you know, we're doing 100K. You know, legally, and then most of us are doing 120, 130, right? So
yeah,
we're moving along.
But also, I mean, it is different because over here, we're really, the roads are, you know, you're driving to Edmonton, once you get onto different stretches, you might see a car now and again, but quite often you might not see a car for 15, 20 minutes, right? Like that's just because it's just such big distances in the roads, double lane. Yeah. And in England, you're in traffic all the time, right?
So yeah. Yeah.
But it is a wee bit different. I do get it. But again,
well, of course.
3.5 hours now. Yeah. Why are we stopping is the right question.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Let's just get there. Yeah. You don't stop. When you get there, you can stop and have a sandwich. Okay. A pint of beer, for God's sakes. You're there.
Yeah. I think that was when Karen came over to England for the first time. And I proposed on New Year's Eve. In Trafalgar Square at the stroke of midnight, which sounds, I mean, maybe not romantic, but sounds kind of, you know, sounds like a nice thing to do. It sounds like, you know, one of those things. However, you don't factor in a bunch of pissed up, you know, fucking labourers from Huddersfield. Oh, you get fucking married and hugging you and kissing you. Like, I kind of like to be with the girl I've just proposed to you right now, lads, if that's, you know, if that's okay, you know. I appreciate it.
Kev, you romantic. I didn't know you did that. You proposed to her at midnight at Trafalgar Square.
Yeah. I never told you that.
No, you didn't. Oh, Jesus.
Surrounded by drunks and pigeon shit. It was very romantic.
There you go. Yes. Yeah, good for you. See, this is why, that's how you managed to marry above your station. Because, she's too good for you is what I'm trying to say, Kev.
Yeah, I know. We all know this. You know, we all know this. I'm just along for the ride as long as it lasts. And when she eventually notices one day, that'll be the end of that. And I'm like, well, I had a good run. How about you? What have you been up to since last time we talked?
Well, hey, I married above my station as well. So, I had been in, I was back in Winnipeg. Which was a bit of a lost leader. It was more like Falcon Lake, and so here's a quick little. This is so not important, but I went to a place called the Northwest Angle, which is where you can stand in Manitoba, Ontario, and if you had a third leg, you could stand in the United States at the same time. So that was pretty cool. And that is actually where the Dawson Trail started. And the Dawson Trail is where the Métis and the Canadian Army first made their march out this way. So, and the show that I was working on is all in regards to all that stuff, excuse me, from the Métis perspective, which of course I relate to, so. Yeah, super cool. And that was fun. And so I was there, and then you know the next night I was playing a gig back in Saskatoon. So I really actually traversed a fairly significant bit of ground. And I think I had posted a couple photos, but it was actually minus 28 or so. I think maybe dipped down to 30. And then we're talking Celsius, people. That's that's cold, and it was so cold that my mixer. Of course, I guess everybody realizes I'm the audio guy and I have a mixer strapped to me and it's a very, very high quality machine, but not designed to work in those temperatures. So once in a while, you're listening and all of a sudden, people are doing their talky talk and all of a sudden you hear, it's holy fuck.
Yeah.
Shut the machine down, reboot it, shut it down. I mean, it's a computer I'm carrying on me essentially. So, I had to, and I'm not sure if people know what hot shots are. Do you think do people know what hot shots are everywhere?
I don't know. It's probably a different brand.
Okay, so here they're hot shots, and it's that chemically, a little package that you shake it, and then it develops its own heat through some chemical reaction. So of course I've got them in my feet and on my hands, and so I strapped them onto the mixer, taped them onto the mixer, and I was able to get through the couple days that way, but very, very, very cold. And Mother Earth really took a beating because, we'd leave the vehicles running and just keep things in there just so they wouldn't freeze solid while we're trying to shoot. Right. I mean, the nature of it. Got it done, got through it, got back, played my gig. And, here we are, Kev.
Yeah. We should tell people. I mean, cause you're like, Wait, you're east of Winnipeg. Yeah, you're on the Ontario border. What was that like? Did you drive?
We took a 1959 Snowcat. Because where we were at the northwest angles, there are no roads. Right. You can normally only boat there in the spring or summer.
Right.
So snowmobile or whatever. So we took this old Snowcat. Wow. There was a dozen of us in there. It was a trek. It took us, I don't know, 3 hours to get there, in and out. Like 3 hours there, 3 hours back. It was a hell of a trek. So cold. Like I said, my boom pole, for recording audio broke. The cold is just punishing. And, but like I said, we got through it, we got the interviews all done and we shot the area. It's gorgeous. It is pretty neat. Pretty neat. You're just standing at the edge of this river on the other side. That's the States. And there's Ontario. And I'm standing in Manitoba. It's pretty cool.
But if you were to drive to Northwest Point from Saskatoon, that's about 9.5, 10 hours, isn't it? Like it's a fucking haul and a half.
To the Northwest angle? Oh my God. It'd be longer than that.
Longer than that. Yeah.
I would say yes.
Craziness.
I can tell you how long it would take. Yeah. I guess you're right. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. Well, 10.5 hours, yeah. 10.5 hours.
And I mean, 10.5 hours, and that's really going from the midpoint of Saskatchewan to the east edge of Winnipeg. That's just two provinces.
Yeah. I guess that's the thing that I don't know if people realize or don't, but Saskatchewan itself is huge. It's huge.
It's just massive.
Yeah, I mean,
and no one lives in most of it.
Yeah, and no one lives in most of it. A few years ago, Kev, as you know, we shot hockey in Estevan, between Estevan and Flin Flon, and that was a 6 hour, 7-8 hour drive just between games. So
back and forth, and but on the upside, you love hockey, so you know.
Yeah, so everything's kind of worked out, really, if you think about it.
All right, well, there you go. That's our updates. We've told you about our lives. You know, tell us about your lives. You know, don't just limit to what you tell us to Queen, and you know, get on the Discord. Tell us about what's going on. You know, tell us about what's going on in your life, because we want to know about you guys too.
Exactly. I was just going to say, Kev, you know, we really do go on and on and on so much about ourselves.
Yeah,
we really need to hear from other people, and mm-hmm. I think we'd all like to hear less from.
Me
from you. I'm such a dick. No.
In fairness, I usually start it.
No. We love you so much, Kev. We all do. You do God's work, I would say. Or somebody's work. I'm not sure who.
Okay, well, we had the last Seaside that we did, we pulled a Brian May track. Do you want Brian May again? Do you want Roger Taylor? Do you want Freddie Mercury? Or do you want the lone John Deacon composition? What would you like to listen to?
You know what? I got to have some Freddie, man. Give me some Freddie. I want a good solid Freddie track. Maybe where he's like playing some piano or something. That'd be great. What about you, Kev?
Yeah, I'm on board with this. I'm on board. Let's go with some Freddie. Let's go with something. Yeah, I'm totally on board.
All right. Spin her up.
Spinning now, sir. Spinning now. We'll probably get, I'm almost certain we're going to get Brian again, so we'll see. Oh, very interesting. You're in for a treat here, Randy. We're not getting a modern song. We're kind of getting, it's sort of kind of pre-Queen. What song are we getting, Randy?
Well, I can only say that it says, I can hear music by Larry Lurex?
Lurex.
Lurex?
Yeah.
Who is Larry Lurex?
Larry Lurex is Freddie Mercury. So it was a thing that they did. Fucking hell, now I'm going to.
So is this pre-Queen before he changed his name and all that kind of stuff?
No, it was. No. It's not that. They basically. Queen was formed. Queen were. I think maybe they'd recorded the first album. And then they basically. Freddie recorded this, and I think I can't remember. Roger maybe played drums, or and Brian, or maybe the Roger and Brian did vocals or something. I can't remember. Well, when we do our research, we'll find it out, Randy. But it was like a one-off thing. They did a single because they just thought, well, we'll put this out. So we'll read a bit more about it and actually get the skinny on it. And people who listen to this podcast who know all about the Queen are probably screaming into their fucking podcast players now, saying, "Brown, shut up! You don't know what you're talking about. Just do your research and fucking come back." So shall we do that right now, Randy?
Yes, please.
I've got a lovely bunch of coconuts. There they are, all standing in a row. Big ones, small ones, some as big as your head. Give them a twist, a flick of the wrist. That's what the showman said. Look, I'm sick of having to come up with crap for these two idiots. So I'm going to start reciting stupid old English music hall numbers and see how they like that.
Mr. Brown, I can hear music. Greenwich Spectre Barry. Yeah. So I guess this was the sort of an accident that kind of happened. A producer was walking down in the studio and he'd heard Freddie sing on a track. And he goes, "Man, you got to come and sing on this." And so he did. I can hear music. Old Motown tune, apparently.
An old Phil Spector, big wall of sound thing is what they were going for. And when you listen to it, I think they probably hit it.
Yeah, and so they weren't happy with the synthesizer solo. So Freddie said, "Hey, you got to get my buddy Brian in." And Brian played a little face melter, I'm assuming. Maybe it's super tasteful. Maybe he doesn't melt faces. Maybe he just warms faces. I don't know. We'll see.
They also got Roger in on claves, maracas, and tambourines that are densely layered throughout. John Deacon, the only member of Queen not to feature. And of course, the reason that they put it out under Larry Lurex is because Queen were releasing, I think probably Keep Yourself Alive, obviously was the first single. So they were releasing that and they didn't want to get sort of any sort of collision between what they were doing with Queen and this one. So, and I suppose it wasn't originally even intended to be released. But they liked it so much that they said, "Well, fuck it, let's send it out because it might be a sleeper. It could do something." The B-side's kind of cool too, Going Back, which is an old... No, who's that now?
There had to have been some contract issues too, right?
Possibly, yeah.
Assume. Yeah, which is why they would have used the Larry Lurex name. I'm just assuming.
Lurex is the registered brand name of the Lurex Company Limited for a type of yarn with a metallic appearance. The yarn is made from synthetic film onto which a metallic aluminium, silver, or gold layer has been vaporized. There you go. That's what Lurex is. Stretchy, stretchy, sparkly thing.
And one time Larry wrote a fucking tune, man.
Perhaps we fire this thing up, Randy, and let you listen to it.
I'd love to hear it, man.
All right.
This is the way.
It sounds like those girl groups of the 60s, eh?
Wow. It's crazy. Hey? Yeah, be my. Yeah, it totally sounds like that.
Yeah.
And Freddie, that's Freddie. He doesn't sound like Freddie. Well, I mean, he doesn't, right?
Yeah. It's mixed really weird too, though. Hey? Everything's, his vocals mixed back. Like it's not got the power and punch that it, you know.
Yeah, that was kind of a 60s thing, but yeah, he's definitely sitting low in the mix. Yeah, he's low in the mix.
I can hear music. Sound of the city, baby. Seems to disappear. Oh, well, I can hear music. Sweet, sweet music. Whenever you touch me,
kind of cool, hey? Like it's weird because it's wrong. It's out of place because it's Freddie and Freddie, you know, because Queen 1 was a pretty fucking heavy record. Queen 2 was heavy in places, but you've got him singing this the '60s thing. This, I wonder what year it was actually released, the original, but I must have been like, I think we saw 66 or something. 66, yeah. So a very good year for English football, Randy, 1966, incidentally.
Oh, why? Who gives
the
a fuck?
It's the year we won our only World Cup.
Oh, okay, good.
And we're still banging on about it.
Yes, I do give a fuck. Actually, I don't. I'm just lying.
Should just say, Randy, I was quickly looking this up too, because I have this on 7-inch. I really want, and I don't have the sleeve. I don't have a picture sleeve copy of it. But I've got the AMI original press. Well, it was never repressed, so everyone's got the original press, and if you have it. And I was just looking, they're going for quite a bit of fucking money at the moment on Discogs. We're looking at sort of, you know, anywhere
really?
From anywhere from sort of
for this single, you mean? Is that what you're talking about?
For this single, yeah.
Oh.
You're looking at like $750 Canadian.
Wow.
$750 Canadian for this one, which is wild. I don't know what condition mine's in. I'd have to check it. I should probably get it washed, but yeah. So there you go. It's a collectible, and I wanted it for years. So I used to be a record collector back in the day, and I'm sort of getting back into it now, but I used to collect, you know, all these awesome. And I wanted every Queen 45 that they release, and I've got them all, and I've managed to get those over to Canada with me when I moved, so I've got them all upstairs in my daughter's room, and so she listens to them now and again. But this was one of my whales when I was young. This is the one I really, really wanted, and I found it at a record fair in Bolton, if I remember rightly, and I spent, I think, £45 or something around there is what my memory tells me.
So a bit of money. On this song.
Well, because it was a super limited release, right? Uh-huh. It was pre-Queen. No one really knew who or what it was because Queen hadn't hit big yet. So it's this little weird outlier that just because there were so few printed, just makes it a bit more collectible, you know?
I was going to say, because they're talking about Spectre and the Wall of Sound and all that stuff too. Hey, you can, that's where the mix is. And I don't love it, but
I don't see that. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if you notice, like the drums are almost sort of non-existent, right?
Yeah.
And so the Wall of Sound, what they do is they bury the vocal so that everything else is up front. And then you kind of got to turn your stereo up so that you can kind of hear the vocal. And that's, you know what I mean? It's this push and pull. It's a bit like the movie mixing trick, right? Where you keep the dialogue low so that when the shot hits, it scares you, right? So you turn it up so you can hear the dialogue, and then all of a sudden they hit you with this. So, you know, it's a bit like that with, but it's like, well, fucking hell, like the drummer's playing, I fucking can't hear nothing.
Well, but, it's washed out, like you can't really hear very much of anything. It's just totally noise.
And then so much verb, like whatever. Yeah, let's hear it. Let's move on.
Wondering whether it was a shredder or a taste. What's it? I did err on the side of tasteful there. Did exactly what the song needed, really.
Yep. Yep. Yes. Yeah. I would agree with that. Underwhelming? Yeah. Yeah. Tasteful? Yes.
Are you not whelmed?
Yeah. I was looking at my whelm. And
it was very un.
It was just a little under. I don't know.
Sweet, sweet music. Whenever you touch me, baby. Whenever you're near.
yeah, if they're playing, if he's, if that drummer's playing a kick, I literally can't hear. I can hear the toms, and that's, I can sort of, you know, I mean,
Man,
it's like, eh, like it's, yeah.
So it's so, well, your term was the best. It's washed out. It's just, yeah. It's just in this wash of verb. And the thing is if they added a kick drum to that, it would just blow that mix up. So they had to pull it out or not use it or just keep it so low that,
yeah,
you know, only, you know, fucking mice can hear it or something. I don't know. Yeah. It's no good.
Maybe Great Congrats is the only person who can hear it.
There you go. They're like, and they've got their earbuds in and like, just like pushed in as far as they can with the bass cranked up, and they're going, Bill, give me some kick. This is what's happening. Mice are doing this. That's how fucking bad it is.
There you go. Well, thank God this didn't continue to trend musically, eh? This type of production.
Well, it was pretty big for a while in the 60s.
Absolutely, it was, yeah. I also think it was done better than this. This isn't Phil Spector. Phil Spector does it better than the guy who wanted to be Phil Spector, right?
So. Yeah, well, this is a Phil Spector wannabe who didn't quite get the fucking brief. He read all the emails, but he missed the part at the end. Hey, did you ever get one of those tests? Did you ever get one of those tests when you were a kid where the teacher gives you the test and then they always tell you, make sure you read over the whole test before you start the test. And if you do that, you read the end, and the end is like, don't do the test, put your pen down, and you know.
Yeah.
If that's what happened with this guy here. Except he was like me, and he just started the test. And then he fucking failed it. That's what I'm saying.
Dude, always read the question properly. I remember in middle school, so I would have been, I don't know, 11 or 12 or something. Middle schools, I don't think exist anymore. But it's like a thing between elementary and high school that we used to have in England. And not everyone Roger went to Dodger. Them. But I wrote, I got a 98 or 91% on a paper that I wrote about conversation. Which the teacher very kindly graded and then pointed out that actually the word was conservation. So while it was a very good essay about conversation, it wasn't what I wanted you to do. So.
Oh my God. That's not true. Is that true?
100% true. 100% true. Yep. I was at Welly Middle School circa 1984-ish. Yeah. I was devastated.
Oh, fucking hell. That is the fucking best.
One letter just inverted, or two letters inverted. So,
well, I mean, we're going to go back that far for stories. I got a few too. So, whenever you attack me, baby.
There you go, Ernie. That's Larry Lurex.
Wow.
Larry Lurel was one of my friends used to call it when I told him about the name of the band or the name of the project. It's a project, isn't it? It's not a band, it's a project. So, well, 3:30. Should we give it one more quick run through here and let you have a listen to it in its washed out fullness?
I think we better.
In one, two. Yeah, there you go. Larry Lurex, I Can Hear Music. I think that I went first the last time we did one of these episodes.
Yeah.
So definitely your turn this time.
Yeah, I think it might be my turn.
So, Randy, I can hear music.
Mm-hmm.
Sentimental favorites for a lot of Queen fans, you know.
I can hear music too.
Is it one of the champions or does it bite the dust?
We can all hear music, Kevin. We all got fucking ears.
Oh, God almighty. How are you, Vaughn? You dastardly knave. Champion or dust? And another one gone, and another one
gone, another one bite the dust, yeah. Well, Kev, I just got to ask you the same gosh darn question, you know, and we're all just sitting here just waiting, just like anticipating, thinking about what Kev might say in regards to this fucking ridiculous fucking song. So is it the champion or is it bite the dust? And another one gone, and another one
gone, another one bite the dust. You know, I don't hate this song because again, there's enough sentimental attachment to it and memories of sort of, you know, scouring loads of record fairs on weekends trying to find this 45 and then eventually finding it. It was a big deal for me as a kid, right? So
copy that.
That sentimental attachment to it, but it's just, well, first of all, we always talk about it. it's just a fucking bog standard 60s girl group kind of song. Like, there's nothing interesting about it really. Like, it's verse chorus, there's no bridge, it's got a bit of a lame solo. I really don't like the production. I guess Robin Cable was the house engineer at Trident. So he wasn't really even a producer at that point. He just decided he wanted to try and do this. And it really was just a throwaway experiment that they never expected really to do anything with. And I think as it was spreading, you've got this voice, well, we should probably put it out and see what it does. But yeah, as a song and as a piece of production, I don't really care about it. And like I said, I mean, fuck me, you could have ended that at 2:45. Lots of songs in this era were 2:30 even, were 2:30,
Yep.
It just goes on and on. It drags on. It's like, okay, you're done here. Why is Brian now doing this wanky, weird sort of single note every four bars thing? Fuck that. Let's get out.
Hey, guys, the horse is dead. Let's now drag the horse through the fucking square. One more time, everybody.
Yeah, I don't know. There's just nothing. There's nothing in this that I can't champion this one, Randy. I was thinking too, though, like, I don't know. Do you know Hank Marvin in the Shadows? Are you familiar with him as a guitarist?
I guess not. No.
You would definitely, I'll say definitely, you would know. Let me play a little bit of this.
Oh, yeah. Of course, yeah. So
what Brian's playing in the solo kind of reminds me a little bit of Hank Marvin, not this song, obviously, but the type of stuff that he did. It was very economical and very simple. And Hank Marvin was a brilliant guitarist and very well regarded and whatnot. But it just all feels a bit like Queen. Like the members of Queen just kind of phoning it in just as a favor to this engineer who's mad keen on this song that he wants to put together, right?
Yeah. It's kind of like everything you would like to have from a 60s tune. You know, like you got Freddie and you got Brian May. Could you imagine if you had like a really great 60s tune from the real generation, but those guys on it? You know what I mean? It's kind of like that, but it's just not. It just doesn't work. It's trying so hard to be, like Be My Baby from the Ronettes.
Yeah.
It's trying so hard. And I know Phil Spector's wrote on and stuff, but it's just this. So the song itself isn't as good as Be My Baby.
I mean, not even close. The hook's not. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the hook isn't as good. And then the production is really not great. And Brian's solo is fine. It's a serviceable solo. I mean, they probably could have got anybody to do that. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And Freddie does a great job singing, but his vocal is buried and there's no body to his vocal. Do you notice that? Yeah. It's because they're probably trying to make it sound a little more female. So it's like they took the EQ and like, you know, at what a maybe 100 or no, probably higher than that. Maybe, I don't know, maybe 200 hertz or whatever. Just like cut it off. So there's nothing below that.
Yeah.
It's his vocal sounds thin and
yeah.
it should have stayed in the fucking dustbin of history and not been found. Do you know what I mean?
Couldn't agree more. The other thing too, I'd written down in my notes as we were listening through again was there's no variation at all in the phrase or intonation when Freddie sings the verses and the chorus. He sings, the verse goes like this, the chorus goes like this, and Freddie Mercury never does that. So you can tell I bet you it was probably like one or two takes. Let's just get it done. We'll wandering through trying. We'll do that, and then we'll go carry on with whatever the fuck we want to do that's actually interesting, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It does sound like that. And dang it, you know? Do I blame anybody involved? Not really. I mean, you know?
Anybody involved? It's like a bleak crime scene.
Well, it is. I mean, it is. Like, you know, like, let's just say we're going to, like, you know, cast some fault on somebody. Who was the producer, dude? What was his name again? That's the guy.
Absolutely.
He gets it. He gets it. This isn't Freddie's baby. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This isn't Rogers. This isn't Brian's baby. They're just jumping in and, we'll fucking help you. You know, they're probably smoked weed together and hung out and fucking part. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, musicians do that, right? They hang out and they're like, fucking, let's do this. Oh yeah, it's fucking sounds great, man. I fucking love working, you know. Maybe the dude is like a super cool guy and they fucking like
him. You know? You know? Well, he was the engineer at Trident, so I'm sure. I wonder if he worked on.
Well, he probably was/is a super cool guy. I'm talking like he's fucking dead or something, but
I want to see if I'm kind of curious if he worked on their debut album. Sorry, yeah. So John Anthony, Roy Thomas Beck. I wonder if he worked on the debut. So yeah, you know what though? Fuck, if they got paid a little bit, why not? It's probably about an hour's work. You know, should we ever listen to the original, the Ronettes version? Just to kind of get a sense of how this sound should be done.
Yeah, and I'm going to assume that's going to be a fucking truckload better. But guess, please.
Oh, slower tempo. Way slower. Sounds so much better, man.
And look how much more forward her vocals are too.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And you know, she's as good as Freddie's as good a singer as she is. Like fucking move her vocals forward.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I mean, let's get to the chorus a little bit. We'll just look at forward a bit.
That was missing too. There's no harmony. This has got this big, lush, big, fat harmonies, like right at the same volume as the lead. And
I mean, just infinitely, infinitely, infinitely better.
And just for the record, fuck Phil Spector.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, into the ground. Yeah. Ooh, it ought to be a crime. He ain't no friend of mine. Fuck that
guy. Fuck that guy every which way. Horrible human being.
Yep.
His contribution to music too, highly overrated.
Yeah.
In my opinion. Like, highly overrated.
Well, he was massively up his own arse, wasn't he, as well? Phil Spector really loved Phil Spector.
Yeah. 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 He's like totally, you know, enough about me. Let's talk about myself.
Oh, good Lord. Well, and also, you know, worth remembering, he was a murderer, so.
Well, you know, it's Phil Spector was a fucking animal.
Yeah.
Horrible.
It's weird. You think back to, I mean, obviously we know this. I mean, Jesus, even up to the last few years before the Me Too movement, that these predators just got away with it because all these industries were male dominated and they had all the power and they just do whatever the fuck they wanted, you know?
That's right.
Fuck those guys. Well, some of the guys that were quite popular at a time, Randy, were the Beach Boys. Let's just give one quick listen to this one and see how they did it. Because maybe the cover that Larry Lurex was doing, maybe they were aping the Beach Boys, not the Ronettes.
I would gamble that the Beach Boys version will be pretty fucking good.
Let's put it in the hands of a producer who knows the band and knows how to do it. It's
shit. So I guess basically what happened there is they took a song that was, you know, pretty reasonable.
Yeah.
And they just like turned it into this fucking turd. So normally you take a shitty song and you try to in the biz.
In the biz.
As if I'm in the fucking biz. But you know, we call it polishing a turd, right? You know, you got a shitty song and you just do it again, make it sound good. So they took a pretty decent song and they like removed the sheen.
Yeah. Moved anything from it that made it cool. The Ronettes version had those great horns. The Beach Boys, of course, you've got those fucking harmonies. And
yeah.
But again, I think it's just that there's both those other versions, there's space in them. You can fucking hear things without that. Just, oh my God. Yeah. Just,
and there again, I do not blame Freddie. Brian.
No, God, no.
This is not their issue. So,
no, of course not. Yeah.
As a matter of fact, you know, if you think about it, maybe there's some learning moments in this for them too. It's like, oh, fuck, let's not do that.
Well, yeah, I mean, it really is important to learn what not to do, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I can hear music. Randy can hear music.
Yeah.
We all can hear music.
Yeah.
But what we should do, Randy, is try and guess what the other people on the internet who can also hear music are going to think of this song.
They can hear it too?
They can hear the music.
It was just you and I.
They can't hear it very distinctly because it's washed out, but they can hear it.
If they would have just dialed back the reverb a little bit, everybody could hear music better.
Okay, you've got to go first. So what is your vote?
I can hear music.
What's your guess?
I think that most people... Well, God, you see, I just don't know I don't know the Queen people, you know? I just know my own mind. God, motherfucker. Okay, I'll go 50-50. Okay. There you go. Yeah, I was tempted to go like, lots of people are going to like this. It's Freddie, he's young, it's all, you know, but nah, fuck it, 50-50.
I suspect that a little bit of common sense might prevail on this one because it's not Queen. You know, Roger isn't playing drums. John's not on it.
Yeah.
It's not got this. So it's not really Queen's. I think that people have the same sentimental attachment to it that I do, but I think people will see through it and know that really they shouldn't be championing this one. So I'm going to go, I'll play it safe, but I'm going to go 40-60 because I think this was going to come back a dud. So.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, just the very quick version or listen we had to the Beach Boys version and then the, what was the other one? Sorry,
the Ronettes.
It was the Ronettes. They're both like just in a couple of seconds. You go, oh well, fuck. This sounds a lot better. I mean, so just on that, those merits alone, yeah.
And I got to tell you too, out of the two, I mean, we only listened to a little bit of both, but I prefer the Ronettes version too. I love the Ronettes anyway because those three girls, their harmonies together are just flawless. Yeah. So. You know,
I'm a 60s Motown freak show. So yeah, it's like my, yeah, yes.
Well, there we go. I mean, that's, you know, we've both downvoted. Not everyone will. There'll be, and I'm sure there'll be cogent arguments online about why people should be championing this one and why they love it. I just don't, and you don't. And I think we've been very eloquent and forthright in our opinions. So that's all
respectful?
We can do, Randy.
Respectful too, do you think?
Well, not to Phil Spector, because, you know, fuck that guy again.
So. Yeah, no, fuck that guy. Like, fucking fuck that guy. I'm not even joking about that. Fuck that guy. So, beyond that, though, very respectful, I think.
Holy shit. The Ronettes only released one studio album. That's crazy. Chapel of Love. That's the one I like by them. That's the other one that I like by them. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know that one.
I don't know if they did that one originally. Oh, they did, yeah. Oh, no. Hang on. The Dixie Cups. Oh, okay. I don't know that one. Well, fucking, there we go. We've done it. We've done another episode, Randy. I think we should probably wrap up. Because you're quite old and you probably need to get to bed fairly soon, I would imagine.
Oh, no, were you talking, Kev? Sorry. Sometimes the sound of your voice just makes me want to drift off. Is that why this podcast is kind of maybe not taken off like it should?
My soporific voice. Like the old the Grandpa Simpson thing. Hey, can you still party with...
Yeah. I don't like the looks of them teenagers.
Oh, good Lord. All right. Well, you know what? We'll be back again with a proper episode at some point. So this is a filler. And if you listen to this in February, it means that Randy got very, very, very busy on his trip. And if not, well, we'll talk about it once we put it out. So there you go. That's a wrap, as they say in the biz. Well, that was a bit of a dud, wasn't it? Could you hear music? I could just about hear music, but I could hear it a whole lot better when the Ronettes or the Beach Boys did it. But look, we can't hold this against anyone except Robin Cable. Ironically, the poppiest, funkiest, hippest member of the band wasn't even involved on any level. If I were to title this episode, I'd probably call it I Can Hear Music, or possibly It's Not Exactly a Wall of Sound, More a Small Privet Hedge of Sound. We really appreciate you talking to us on social media, so go check us out on Facebook and Blue Sky at Seaside Pod Review, on Twitter at Queen Seaside, and hey, come join our Discord server. We'll be back next week to talk about another song from one of the greatest bands the world has ever seen.
Brand new angle.
Give us a kiss, Kevvy.
Seaside Pod Review.
Very good, Jethro. We will continue your homework with great leaders in history. You may begin.
A is for Alexander, the great he was named. B is for Beethoven, for music so famed. C is for cigarette, Winston's the best. D is for Drake,
wait,
Sir Francis.
Wait, cigarettes, Winston. Jethro, we are studying great leaders.
Well, Mr. Drysdale told Uncle Jed that Winston is the leading filter cigarette all over.
That's right, he did. Me and Granny's been smoking them, and they is first rate. Here, try one.
Mr. Clampett, I've no doubt that Winston is indeed a superior filter cigarette. However, in deference to the textbook... My, this is superior. However, in deference to the textbook... Never mind the textbook. C is for cigarette, and Winston's the best.
Yes, ma'am. Winston tastes good.
Like a cigarette should.